Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Monday. Happy Monday to y'all. As they say in Texas, so you got the Texas accent going there, y'all. All y'all. We welcome all y'all. Make you feel down at home here. It's Monday, October 15th. We appreciate you dialing and making us a part of your regular routine. We've got a special guest today. I can't wait for this. If you haven't been to the website, head out to the website, www.lickinonlending. Take a look at today's broadcast. You're going to get a chuckle out of the picture that is on the website today. I'm going to tease it up there, but our special guest, Phil Hall, is going to be with us. He's the editor of Mortgage Orb, secondary marketing executive, as well as mortgage servicing management. So we're excited to have Phil on the broadcast. We're talking, as most of you know, we're doing a series of broadcasts called Politics and Mortgages. And what does the government, what does this election mean to this industry? It's significant. We're starting to get some more data points as we listen to the debates, and we're going to start seeing what's going on. So I encourage each of you to go back, and if you have missed any of the broadcasts, go back and do so. We started doing this back in August, actually before that, and we've had a series of broadcasts actually since Labor Day. Even one day before, the Saturday, Monday before Labor Day, and we've done just a series of broadcasts every week covering what does this election mean to the mortgage industry. So it's Mortgage and Politics. We encourage you to go back and download those broadcasts. We've got exciting broadcasts coming up next week. We've got Robert England coming back, who is the author of an exciting new article, and we'll all be at the MBA conference, the MBA convention in Chicago, the annual MBA 99th year. Next year, 100 years of the MBA has been around. Wow. So this year is the 99th anniversary annual conference in Chicago again, and we'll be all there. And we're going to have Robert England, who wrote an article that we had on politics and mortgage banking. He wrote that article last month in the Mortgage Banking Magazine. We have him back talking about mortgage brokers. And the title of his new article that's going to be published, and we're going to be having him on the radio right after it's published, and the name of the article is Brokers Down But Not Out. He did an exhaustive study on the wholesale industry, the mortgage brokerage industry. Next week, you are not going to want to miss that broadcast if you're involved in wholesale or looking at strategies of how to gather loans in the future. He did a great job. It's a great article, and I'm excited to have him on the broadcast again next week. But without further ado, let's get into what's going on in the world of interest rates. Joe Farr, I actually got, everyone knew Joe Farr was on the golf course last week because it was a holiday. And so we announced it on the radio program. One of our listeners wrote us, Joe, and said, are you going to share a score? So,
well, fortunately for me, it was a scramble. So it was a good score. Not only was it a scramble, we had a lady on the team that could hit the ball about 250 yards, and she had very, very generous forward tees, and so we were close to the green on just about every hole.
Wow. Well, that's nice. When you have solid golfers on your group, most people wince when they see Andy and I show up at the golf course. I shouldn't say that. Andy's muted out here, so he's not going to get a chance to defend himself until later on. But I show up at the golf course and they're going, oh, no, we drew the short straw when we added you to the group. So anyway, it's fun doing that. What's going on in the markets? I see the MBS prices are down just a smidge.
Yeah, they're down a bit. It's been a little volatile this morning, Dave. Early in the morning, we lost about 430 seconds on the stronger-than-expected retail sales number. In fact, it was a 1.1% increase as opposed to what was expected of 0.7. And so the immediate reaction to that news was a bit of a drop in prices. But by 10, all that was recovered, and we've been in positive territory for a couple hours until just recently, and we've seen a nice increase in stock prices, but a drop back down to the to the lowest levels of the day in mortgage-backed security prices.
Interesting. So, well, let's talk about last week. It was a good week and another good week. It sounds like the weatherman in San Diego. Another beautiful day in San Diego.
But well, you'll recall
from more.
Yeah, the week before last was not good. It was the first time in about six that we didn't see improving mortgage-backed security prices and therefore improving mortgage rates. But back to an improving week, MBS prices improved about a quarter of a point. And, you know, it really wasn't tied to too much going on in the U.S. There was very little in the form of economic news last week. There were some Treasury auctions, which performed very well, but a lot for the same reasons. It was more associated with global concerns, both for, you know, the issues going on in Europe. There were several riots and protests going on in Spain and Greece last week, and that's always good for mortgage-backed security prices, not so good for stocks and equities. But and then further weakness, concerns in China, and then, of course, the growing tensions in the Middle East all combined to without a week of real economic news to consider, a week that caused investors to shift into safer assets, and that's good for mortgage-backed securities. One announcement came out that got some attention was the initial jobless claims last week fell by 30,000. And the interesting thing about this is as soon as it came out, it was so sort of unbelievable and for a good cause. It was admittedly inaccurate. And so I don't have much more details on it other than a particular state, and I don't know which state, did not report their jobless claims, and therefore we got better.
I heard it was California, if I understood correctly.
But California came out and said, no, not us. And so I don't know. I just don't know. But chances are we'll see. We won't see that kind of number again this week.
No.
And so for this week, there's really where we didn't have much going on last week. There's a lot this week. You know, this morning we already had a pretty major one in retail sales, and also this morning the New York Empire State Index came out. It was worse than expected, so not quite in line with retail sales. Tomorrow we have CPI and industrial production coming out. Housing starts on Wednesday. Jobless claims on Thursday, and we'll see what that looks like. Philly Feds on Thursday, and then existing homes on Friday. Looking elsewhere, overseas, China has its third quarter GDP coming out on Thursday. And then there's an important EU summit going on that begins on Thursday. And it's important in that we're at a point in time where Greece needs more money. They're going to run out of money if they don't get I think it's a 31 billion euro advance, a loan.
Wow.
And there's some controversy over that. The lenders aren't all in agreement as to what kind of consequences there should be. In that the IMF wants the creditors of Greece to give up some of their principal, to take a haircut in order for Greece to have a sustainable future. The European Union and the ECB don't want that to happen for very strong political reasons. And so this meeting might not resolve anything, and Greece still has until likely the end of November before they run out of money. But there could be something coming out of this that could affect MBS prices and mortgage rates here in the U.S.
Interesting. So I just typed up a note here to myself. It says, Greece is like my daughter in college, always in need of money. Send money.
Yeah.
Golly. That's really interesting. Anything else that we're going to need to be really paying attention to?
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, again,
that's the big thing.
CPI is big. Industrial production comes out is big. And then the overseas events are really weighing in on things.
It is, without a doubt. Joe Farr, MBS Quote Line, thank you so much. For those of you who know Joe, yeah, he's the director of sales and marketing there. So his direct phone number is 512-637-1763. Call him. Tell him what you think about his his time here on the broadcast. We appreciate Joe taking the time to bring us an update on the markets. Also, you can reach
Thanks,
Joe, Dave. At joe.farr, F-A-R-R, at mbsquoteline.com. Head out to the website to mbsquoteline.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. I want to tell you that I was thinking about that college remark, and I'm reading in Alice Alvey's comments here, and she's talking about boomerang here, boomerang buyers. Well, there's boomerang college kids. They're coming home to live with you right after they graduate. Sorry for all the analogies back. Alice, so good to have you back with us live again.
Great to be back. Yeah, it's great to be back, Dave.
So what you got for us on this October 15th?
Well, you know, thank goodness Congress is not in session right now. They're all out trying to get reelected. So we have a little breather here on anything new actually occurring on that front. But there's plenty of other things going on. Like you said, the boomerang buyers. So it's actually a positive statement. We're seeing this a lot in Michigan, where a lot of our customers are coming back out of the woodwork because it's been a solid 3 years since their foreclosure, and they're trying to requalify for mortgage. So I was just pointing out my write-up to you that the MBA NewsLink and Wall Street Journal were talking about this. And I thought the number was significant enough to mention that Moody's Analytics says the number of households that endured foreclosure and now qualify for FHA financing rose to 729,000 in the second quarter from only 285,000 in the same period last year, and they believe it could hit 1.5 million by early 2014. So anybody concerned about refinances waning, there's a new group of boomerang buyers out there that we can get ready for. So that was the good news. I like the good news
that
point.
Is some
most
good
of the time
news.
I'm bringing up stuff people don't want to hear.
Yeah, but you always do it in a pleasant way.
Right. Oh, I'll try. Anyway, so we have several proposed rules that are still pending for comment. I'm going to be posting mine today. Those of you who are listening, get your comments out there. We were actually joking around. You know, they have to read them all. So if you just have one thought, put it in one comment, and then you can add thoughts and other comments and keep posting. It takes them longer to read them. Anyway, so we do have our integrated mortgage disclosures. This one is actually open until November 6th. So take a look at RESPA and the combined disclosures, but keeping in mind that they are wanting some feedback about essentially eliminating the 10% tolerance. They're going to say, if we're picking a service for a borrower, we should know the fee, and certainly we'll still have changes in circumstances to work with, but they're saying, well, why call it a 10% tolerance then? You should just have a change in circumstance that fits with those. And I think there's a problem with that. That's a negative to customers. Remember, your comments to this has to all be not about how it hurts you, but how it hurts the customer, right? So
absolutely.
Look at the disclosures. The forms themselves are very useful, but this tolerance issue is a big one. The other one is that they want you to have a HUD-1 to the customer 3 days of closing, and usually people break out laughing when you try to figure out how you're going to accomplish that. But since it's a combined, formerly known as HUD-1, to be combined with a TIL, the truth in lending part of it has to be to the customer early, so therefore the HUD-1 too. So get your comments out on that when we have a little bit of time on that. The other part that's still open on our high-cost mortgage is about this all-in kind of a transaction coverage rate or an all-in APR that would potentially replace some of our other thresholds. That part is open until November 6th. The other parts are gone now to comment on changing any kind of APR threshold, but in terms of the number that we'll use, please have your compliance people go spend some time with that and comment about the new ratios or the new comparison points that would be used. Loan originator compensation, those comments have to be in today, so hopefully you got your 2 cents in on that. A lot of people think overall it's relatively, you know, a good proposal, but make sure you take a look at that and that you identify what is a good benchmark for a lender who wants to come up with a qualifying 401k or qualifying profit sharing, because 100% of your profits are coming from mortgage lending. So is there a way to say, well, but we are still managing our own expenses, we're still managing our secondary market execution, you know, we have all these factors outside of the loan officer's control, so can't we still come up with a qualified plan? So lenders especially need to go take a look at the nuances, but trying to make sure your LOs can be a part of a 401k. The other pieces that expire today, we've got to get your comments in, are ECOA, wanting that the customer would get a copy of every single appraisal. That one to me seems kind of crazy, although if we have the loan officers have to take those phone calls, how do you think they'll feel about that if the customer is getting an ABM to try and decipher with the appraisal? No, we don't need any more calls. So I'm not so sure that's helpful to a consumer to have too much information. So get your comments on that one. Last but not least, high-risk mortgage appraisals. The comments are due today. I actually had a little bit of a brainstorm the other day. They want some guidelines on this to follow. Why not just follow what FHA does? FHA says if the price doubles, then we start triggering some extra steps for a second appraisal. If CFPB is looking for some kind of a benchmark for when should we trigger a second appraisal, if the property was owned by the seller less than 180 days, let's make sure that number is at least double and not let them look at, you know, something shorter than doubling of value in 180 days. Qualified mortgages would be excluded, but we don't know what those are yet. So anyway, last but not least, Dave, is I wanted to make sure I talked about this case that the CFPB is involved in.
Yeah,
so I just wanted
DHH.
To give everybody, yeah, the civil investigative demand. You know, again, I keep saying the company itself isn't what's important, who's involved in this, because this really impacts everybody. The CID, this civil investigative demand, was for 21 interrogatories with multiple subparts and 33 documentation requests that go after all. They are looking for paperwork from 2001 and in some cases 1995. That's crazy. But the CFPB has said they don't have a statute of limitations in an investigative scenario. And I actually found this line in their response. A government agency is not required to show that it has probable cause to believe there is a violation of federal law before opening an investigation and issuing compulsory process. That's right out of their response. So
wow.
I think the lender petitioned to at least try and get this modified or set aside in whole or in part. Basically, CFPB said, this is what I want, and this is what you're going to give me. So it's a challenge.
It's, yeah, in fact, we wanted to get Mitch Kider and the folks from Wiener Brodsky who are representing PHH on the radio. Of course, they can't, but it doesn't stop me from trying. But we did talk to them at length, and it was just fascinating, this whole thing. So I'll tell you, we got to keep our eyes on that. That is a big indication of where and the intent of CFPB. And we're going to have a little bit on here. We got Andy Schell coming up here in just a minute, the Profit Doctor. We're going to get his intelligence on some of this. And then also right after that, we've got Phil Hall. And again, if you haven't been out to the website, Phil sent me a picture this morning that we put up on the website. It's him sitting in a chair, all wrapped up, tied up, and I put it right next to the CFPB because it feels like that's what PHH must feel like right now. Only Phil would come up with a picture like that when we're talking about CFPB. It was perfect. I can't wait to have him on here in just a little bit. We'll be back. But Alice, good to have you back, and good to have you bringing us the latest. And I'll probably be saying good to have you back because we just missed you. That 2 weeks was just way too long.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and your mic keeps cutting me in and out a little bit there, so we'll just give you a heads up on the sound.
Thank you. I may have to switch over to the old.
Thank you very much. That's my report
thank
for
you so
today.
Much. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break. Thank you so much for being with us.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery. country and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Well, we're switching around. We can't get ourselves on another microphone here, but I'm unable, so I apologize for that. We're trying some new equipment, and it's supposed to be new and improved. So much for the new and improved part of it. Anyway, good to have the Prophet Doctor here with us.
Hey, Dave.
He is always bringing it. Are you there?
I am, Dave. It sounds like you're moving your head, and when you move it away from the mic, you can't hear it anymore. Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to be here, and it's good to have a sound booth operator who knows sound. So, yeah, we're trying a new studio mic here. So, Andy, you can help coach me through this, make sure I'm looking straight at the mic.
That's the first thing.
Look at the mic. Yeah, Well, Prophet Doctor, I know we were talking about CFPB, and we were talking about the fact that the regulators are doing things that, quite frankly, are just unbelievable to me, and that you were reporting, and you said in our conversation over the weekend and on Friday, you said, you know, the regulators, Dave, actually can operate in a regulated way. Well, give our listeners some insights to what you're talking about. We're just shocked that they're going back and looking at loans from 1995.
Well, I think the first thing to remember is in our mortgage banking world that some of this regulatory oversight that we're dealing with is new and we've never dealt with it before. You know, I spent most of my career working for commercial banks like Bank of America, but within their mortgage lending environment, so the capital markets at Bank of America and the mortgage division, correspondent lending at Bank of America, and so forth. But I think that one of the things to think about is the CFPB's view of mortgage banking. And I have a quick analogy for you, Dave, that might help us better understand what the CFPB sees when they look at us. My daughter-in-law was telling me this weekend about the story. She's working at a child development center, a daycare center, and she's training 10, 2.5 to 3.5-year-olds. And she just took over the class, and she was telling me that the class was really unruly because they haven't been monitored, they haven't been watched, they haven't been trained, and so she's having to train them to sit and listen and pee in the toilet, you know, some basic things that we would expect 2- and 3-year-olds to be able to get to. And I thought of you as he was telling me about that, and I see all this regulation coming on mortgage banking. I'm thinking, you know, that's what the CFPB thinks. The CFPB sees us as a bunch of unruly 2-year-olds that need to learn how to sit and
that's
listen
really
and pee in the toilet. So we need to, if we kind of accept the fact that they think we're crazy, and again, remember, the Prophet Doctor is a capitalistic opportunist, no question, but I also think it's important to be fair and responsible in providing housing mortgage finance to the consumer. So there's a balance there. And I think to some degree the pendulum is swinging too far, and it's going to be bumpy as it swings too far. But some of it is, it's okay to be able to learn to sit and listen and pee in the toilet. I mean, some of that, it's okay to accept some of this stuff, and the more we fight it, the worse it's going to get. So part of the point is accept their perspective, embrace it as opposed to resist it to the extent possible, because all that's going to happen if you fight it is it's going to be worse. It's just going to be harder. So just my advice is, from being in a regulated environment for most of my career with big depositories, accept it, learn how to deal with it, hire to support it, and, you know, the unfortunate reality of it is you pass the cost back to the consumer. So all this stuff is going to make mortgage more expensive, but
yeah,
that's just what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, there's no question. This is going to come back, and it's going to cost the very person we're protecting a lot more. It's interesting your perspective on the regulated world, because you have lived in that. You've been indoctrinated. Contrast, you're now working with independent mortgage bankers across the planet and across the nation, and you're seeing a definite difference. But there are some mortgage bankers that are getting religion, so to speak, are getting it figured out, and are learning to say how high as regulators say jump. Contrast the two mentalities, and what are the key walkaways today that people need to be thinking about as they start looking at the CFPB in contrast to where they were, the independent mortgage banker, and now being, in some cases, over-regulated.
Okay, well, if we embrace the perspective that I mentioned just a second ago about how I view the business world, where I would define myself as a capitalistic opportunist, that automatically sounds bad to some. But if you also understand that within a fair and responsible environment, or with a mentality that I want to be fair and responsible as I take advantage of market opportunities to make my business make more money, we always want to embrace that perspective. Never turn away from that. And the regulators don't expect you to turn away from that either. The regulators expect companies to be profitable, because otherwise you won't be in business. And also do customer service well, do customer loans well, be responsible. Don't overprice and gouge and all this other stuff. But, we've always had RESPA. We've had HOPA. We've had all kinds of rules you've had to follow. The difference now is that somebody's actually going to be checking more so than ever before. So for those that have been doing the rules well, who have embraced the mentality of let's make money and let's be responsible in our lending environment, let's follow RESPA and all the rules like we're supposed to, this isn't going to be that bad, because even though the CFPB comes in and starts digging around in your sandbox, you've got everything because you follow the rules from the very beginning. So as long as you do it right, like you should have been doing it all along, this is going to be fine. The one area that people are probably have some exposure is in their financial management, where they haven't done their call reports right because they didn't track accounting well enough. So we're going to have to deal with upgrading that a bit. But some of the baseline lending structure, the systems that support it, and we've all known what RESPA is for a long time, and the TIL calculations and APR calculations, and although Alice, I'm sure, has lots of horror stories about where people still don't do that right. But if you are doing it right, then you're going to be fine.
There's no question that there is taking a mental adjustment to the process. But, Andy, thank you so much. Adjustments
across
the board.
Well, you don't want to be the screaming two-year-old being drugged to the bathroom. That's not a pretty sight.
That is not. But it does feel a little bit like...
Say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir.
Yep. It does, yeah. And it sounds like we're almost being regulated, and we got to remember to lift the toilet seat before we do our thing. So anyway, it's kind of crazy. But good analogy, Andy Schell. So much fun to have you back as well. You've been out and about and part of the traveling crowd out there, so it's good to have you back. We'll all be up in Chicago at the MBA. Alice will be there, myself, and in fact, Alice and I are going to be speaking at the state MBA. All the directors are getting together at a pre-conference. For the state directors, we're going to be doing that on Friday and Saturday, and then everyone flies in on Sunday. We start the MBA conference. For everyone that will be attending, you can get a hold of Andy by his email. Get a hold of A. Schell, make sure you put S-H-E-L-L at mbs-team.com to get a hold of him, to set up a time to see him. It's a hot item up there. I don't know if you can fit in any time, but he would love to get together with you as we all would. Folks, Andy, good to have you on the broadcast. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. By the way, we normally have Tony Garitano in at this time to talk about technology, and he's given us some great perspective. But Tony is occupied today, and then he'll be traveling to Chicago as well. He's got the big Engage event that's going to be happening on Sunday. I'll tell you, you want to make this. If you go out to the website, go out to Progress and Lending. Website, www.progressinlending.com. Take a look at the Engage event, Engage 2012. It's out there. Alice and I will be speaking at it, attending it, and we're sponsors there. We're very proud to be affiliated with Tony and his association. and all the things he's doing and serving in the world of technology. It's good to have him with us, be a part of the broadcast regularly, but he's not here today. So he sends his greetings and hopes to see you all in Chicago. Our special guest today is Phil Hall. He is the editor of MortgageOrb.com and the editor of the monthly magazine Secondary Marketing Executive and Servicing Management. Phil is someone that is well-read by many, many people in the industry, especially the Mortgage Orb is just so such a popular blog for so many. I get more people comment anytime I've written in that, get more responses to that blog than anything else I publish in, it seems like. Very much appreciate him being on the broadcast. And then also, if you haven't been to our website, www.lickinonlending.com, go check it out. You'll see a picture of Phil, and it's the one he sent me to put up on the website this morning. And along with CFPB, and I think it's totally appropriate. It kind of looks like it's got some dark themes because Phil not only is a celebrated editor and a publisher, but also he is a movie star. He just starred in a horror film. He's an actor. And you know, the Rudyard's Kiplinger's, I'll have him tell about the movie in just a minute, but The Mark of the Beast, and debuted on DVD, and it's coming out October 23rd. On the MVD visual label. I can't wait to go see that. Phil Hall, good to have you on the broadcast. Appreciate you coming on board, especially with such short notice.
Well, Dave Licken, thank you so much for having me.
It is always fun. You've written also a book. A lot of people don't know that you are a movie aficionado. I mean, you really do study movies. You've read them, and there's a great book out there. Give your book a shout-out here real fast just so people can go look it up.
I've written 5 books, actually, and I'm working on number 6. Outside of mortgage banking, I also do film reviews for the online site Film Threat. My most recent book was the re-release of The History of Independent Cinema, and I'm working on a book now called The Greatest Bad Movies of All Time, and that should be out next year.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about that. Just take a look at the movies I've rented. That would make up your probably the list. That's so fun. Well, it's interesting that you have such a diverse background. If you're really happy, you got something outside the industry, because there's things that are going on in the industry right now, Phil, that can really challenge you. It's good to have you talk about it. Come on here, be willing to discuss this with us. You know, one of the questions I had for you, and that's been a question I've been asking a lot of our guests that we've been having on here this the last couple of months, talking about politics and mortgage lending. And that is, why is it, Phil, that with the housing crisis being as big as it is, why has it been avoided by the candidates that are running for election in this campaign?
Well, that's interesting. The president obviously does not want to talk about the housing crisis because he hasn't solved it. In fact, last August, he admitted that he had to go back to the drawing board. That was his exact quote, go back to the drawing board, when he admitted the loan modification programs that he proposed were not working. On the Republican side, it's been something of a mix, because either the candidates don't have a good solution or they find themselves in a lose-lose situation. You may remember a year ago around this time, Mitt Romney gave an interview with the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and he was asked what would be his solution to the housing crisis, and he basically said, and he used, unfortunately, the phrase, let it hit the bottom. And that was what he was saying, actually, was not inaccurate. A lot of economists just basically wanted the market forces to work their way through and let the market sort itself out. But the let it hit the bottom quote was seized upon by his opponents on the other side of the political spectrum. And he was painted as being callous and not interested in homeowners and eager to kick them out, which none of this, of course, is true. And Romney had shied away from any mention of housing for about 11 months until last month, when his campaign very quietly put a couple of ideas up on the website.
They're encouraging people to get out there and take a look at the Romney website on housing. Go ahead, Phil. I'm sorry for interrupting.
One candidate who was willing to speak about it at some length was Newt Gingrich, and a lot of people weren't aware that Mr. Gingrich was holding meetings around the country with community bankers to get their input on issues relating to Dodd-Frank and qualified mortgages and covered bonds and whatnot. And for a while, Newt Gingrich was the flavor of the week, but unfortunately, he became his own worst enemy when he thought he was his own best friend, and his campaign sank. But otherwise, housing just does not seem to be a sexy issue, and it's certainly not an issue that lends itself to a soundbite solution. And I think that's basically challenged the candidates and their handlers.
I'm going to invite in some of our other panelists that are being the regular participants here. Alice, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sure. Hi, Dave. Hey, Phil. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Alice. Thank you for having me.
Oh, as well, it's great to have you. It's interesting that you bring up, you know, talking about the housing, because it really was October 3rd. That was the first time we heard somebody really bring up QM in the debate, and that kind of went back and forth as to, you know, the president, of course, saying that this is a big problem, you know, I mean, that we needed this regulation, and Romney and him and Obama actually criticizing Romney for wanting to potentially repeal the whole thing. Why did he wait so long, and where is this going to go from here? How did we end up after the debate?
It's interesting. I was watching the debate, and when I heard Romney talk about Dodd-Frank, and when he said qualified mortgages, it's like somebody dropped the F-bomb on TV. It's like, oh, my
right.
goodness. He said those words on the air. But then why did he wait till October 3rd to say it? My guess is going to be that had Romney raised these issues much earlier in the campaign, I think he'd be further ahead than where he is today. And the fact that they waited so long, that completely puzzles me, and I think it's going to come back to haunt the campaign.
No question that it's going to haunt these guys, but I think, and we're anticipating with the next debate that's coming up is really on foreign policy. I'm not sure we're going to hear anything then, and then there's one more debate on after that. Am I not mistaken?
I think you have it the other way around, Dave. But even then, foreign policy does tie into this, because you have to realize that foreign countries, particularly the Chinese, are buying the mortgage-backed securities that are being issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Ginny Mae. So we are beholden to foreign investors for buying up our MBS issuances.
Well, no question. Joe Farr, you, I know you've got some questions. Go turn it over to you.
Well, you know, we're talking about Dodd-Frank. A big part of that is the CFPB. But very controversial was how Richard Cordray was put in charge of the CFPB, and I've not seen that become or be discussed at all. Is it an issue they're just too afraid to get in touch with?
In my opinion, this is another real puzzlement for the year, because for those of in the audience who may not recall, Richard Cordray was named the director of CFPB in a presidential recess appointment on January 4th of this year, except that the Senate technically was not in recess. They were holding pro forma sessions to prevent recess appointments, and the president said, no, you're in recess, and I'm appointing him. And there was a bit of a hue and cry about this, but nobody really wanted to challenge this until maybe about a month or two ago. It's a small bank out of Texas, and two right-wing advocacy groups have filed a lawsuit in court to declare the CFPB unconstitutional. And when you have to stop and think about it, that housing finance policy in this country is being dictated by two men who were not elected and were not confirmed by the Senate, Richard Cordray at the CFPB and Ed DeMarco at the Federal Housing Finance Agency. Ed DeMarco is actually the acting director of the FHFA, and he's been acting since 2009. So we have an interim director who's just celebrated his third anniversary on the job, and he's doing what he wants to do, and he's not accountable to anyone. And Mr. Cordray has been shoehorned into the CFPB, and he's not accountable to anybody either. So I thought this was a democracy, but apparently it's in terms of housing finance, it's not.
Go ahead, Joe. I've got a comment, a thought on that as well.
Well, go ahead, Dave.
But, you know, when it comes to Richard Cordray, I mean, remember when he was appointed and just the way he was announced. He was sitting at the kitchen table of Mr. and Mrs. Eason somewhere, I think in Cincinnati, Ohio, somewhere up in Ohio, and they announced his appointment. He's the former attorney general, I believe, from Ohio, and so I understand why they were doing Ohio. But when they announced it, the exact words were, we're hiring him, putting him in place to begin to manage or regulate independent mortgage brokers who, through trickery and abuse, have injured or damaged people like the Eason family here. That should have been a warning to everyone in the industry of what we are now starting to see, which is present in the CFPB announcement. And then also, I'd like to have you talk about what you just wrote about with the latest lawsuit that was just announced today, if you could get into that. I mean, the whole thing, should it really be coming as a surprise when he was announced in the manner that he was, Phil?
Well, what bothers me about CFPB as a whole, and also the administration's approach to this, is something which I wrote about today on MortgageOrb.com, and it was the concept that all homeowners prior to 2008 were victims, and all lenders and brokers and underwriters and securitization executives were villains, and everyone was preying on them. And granted,
right,
there were a lot of shady characters in the mortgage banking industry. Nobody's denying that. But to say that everybody was who took out a loan was a victim and everyone who originated or securitized a loan was a villain is utterly ridiculous. The administration has never acknowledged that the financial services industry has lost billions of dollars because of borrower-generated mortgage fraud. It has never made any mention of the fact that lenders have lost millions, if not billions, from strategic default. People just say, oh, I'm not going to honor my contractual obligation, and they walk away from their homes. And the administration's been peddling a fantasy that the banks are eager to foreclose on people, and they said there have been all these wrongful foreclosures. The problem is that there has never been any data presented to just show how many people have been wrongly foreclosed upon. And even the HUD secretary, Sean Donovan, he was pressed on this, and he even admitted that a tiny, tiny fraction of cases that involved robo-signing resulted in a wrongful foreclosure. So there's a lot of very negative talk regarding the way that the lenders and the servicers and the securitization people have behaved, but the numbers don't back it up. In regard to the lawsuit that was mentioned, that's actually not the government. That's the ACLU, which sometimes seems like it's the government, and they're suing Morgan Stanley because Morgan Stanley securitized subprime mortgages from a now-defunct lender in Detroit. The lender, of course, is now out of business. You can't sue them. So ACLU is suing Morgan Stanley. So the only people I think who are actually making money in the housing industry today are the lawyers.
Sadly true. I think you made the comment that it says if you don't hear of a lawsuit a day, it's like there's something wrong in the industry. It's that prevalent right now.
You think it's a holiday because every day on Mortgage Hub I'm writing about lawsuits. And today we have two lawsuits. We have the lawsuit by the ACLU, and a group of homeowners are suing 12 banks both here and in Europe regarding the LIBOR situation. So every day somebody's being sued or there's some settlement or there's some investigation going on, and it's just degenerated into endless court action. It's almost like a Dickens story come to life.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great analogy. You know, I was thinking about what landed you on the radio program today was the fact that I read that article. And, folks, if you're not reading Mortgage Orb, you are missing out on probably one of the most critical thinking, tell it like it is. I mean, Phil and the way he publishes these articles are just the way he writes his blogs, it's real. And some might say it's a little on the edge, but I'll tell you, we're ready for someone to stand up and say things as they are. And Mortgage Orb, Phil Hall, does it. Phil, we appreciate you being a guest. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this brief word.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Hey, Dave, you there?
Yeah.
Dave, are you there?
I am.
Well,
Okay, Dave, you were cutting out almost the entire introduction. Well, it's great to be back on Lickin' on Lending. I'll go ahead and take it from here in the interview with Phil Hall. Phil, just talking about that last topic, it was interesting, the whole discussion of Richard Cordray about the, you know, it reminds me of the saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, we have a three-branch government system on purpose, executive, legislative, and judicial, but yet we've got the CFPB that seems to be operating isolated from those kind of controls. So what were we thinking? But and given that, given the structure we're dealing with today with Dodd-Frank and everything else, the thing that's on everybody's mind is the election approaches, and I'd love to get your perspective on this. What will four more years of Obama mean for housing?
Well, that's easy. I could just quote from William Shakespeare. What is past is prologue. What we've
there
seen for the past 4 years of basically regulation of major departments that don't have anybody running them, of hostility towards the financial services industry, four more years.
Yep, you know, I read I was attending a play, a Shakespeare play recently, and I had to read the book to read what was going on, because although they were speaking English, they weren't speaking English I understood. So if you would expand a little bit more on your thoughts about the Obama administration continuing in housing, does that mean it's going to stay the same? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? How do you see that?
It's going to stay the same. You have to realize, too, that the election is not just for the president, but also for the Congress. And if there's going to be at least one Republican House of Congress, there's going to be continued stalemate. If both houses of Congress go Republican, it'll be the closest thing we have to World War III. With the Capitol Hill pushing its agenda and the White House vetoing everything that comes out of Congress and using executive orders to get around what the people in the representatives and in the Senate are doing, that's mm-hmm. going to be something of a mess. And I can't really see how it's going to get better. It's, as David mentioned at the beginning of this show, that I'm a horror movie actor, and I'm involved in make-believe horror. I mean, when the cameras are turned off and the lights are turned off, I go home. But mortgage bankers are in their own horror movie, and it's a 24/7 mm-hmm. horror movie, and they're being chased by...
Good point.
Wow. Basically, the government version of slashers and zombies and demons and vampires and whatnot. But there's no end credits. It's just the film that keeps going and going and going, and it gets scarier with each passing day.
Great analogy. Thanks, Phil. Good job.
Thank you.
Joe, I'll let you jump back in.
Well, back on that, Phil, do you see the courts coming in? I mean, a lot of what seems to be going on is you're guilty until proven innocent, and that's fundamentally wrong. And the courts, at some point, as Mitch Keiter said a couple times, somebody needs to take this concept of desperate impact all the way to the courts and get that overturned. Do you see that helping at all? In the next 4 years?
It would help. It's a very expensive action to take, which is why there have been so many out-of-court settlements, particularly when the SEC and the Attorney General's office are going after the big lenders, and they would rather pay what is colorfully known as shut-up money just to put a case behind them and get on with their lives. But if somebody's going to be willing to take this to court and take it all the way to the highest court, we might have a very, very interesting reaction. That's why I'm very surprised that very few people in the industry have gotten behind an effort by that small bank in Texas, which is mm-hmm. trying to declare the CFPB unconstitutional. I mean, this is a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, other groups were angry when Cordray was put into office through a dubious recess appointment, but nobody challenged it in court. And unless you're willing to stand up and fight back, you're just going to be steamrolled. And I'm afraid that's going to happen to too many companies in the industry. They're going to be steamrolled to the point that either they'll shut down certain aspects of their operation or they'll allow themselves to be taken over by a somewhat stronger company. So at that point, we'll have fewer players doing fewer business deals. And that's not to anybody's benefit.
No, and you know, that's a result of fear of retribution, maybe.
It is. The sad thing, and I've written this on Mortgage Orb, is that not about Richard Cordray, is that not since J. Edgar Hoover have we had one unelected bureaucrat hold so much authority with so little accountability. And Hoover's reign of terror created in many ways more harm than good, and I think ultimately when the history of the CFPB will be written, the same will be said about Richard Cordray.
It's for sure customers are paying more for mortgages right now because of him.
It is, and the funny thing is that this bureau is supposed to protect customers,
right?
But it seems to be doing the exact opposite. A qualified mortgage is just basically, why don't you just call it what it is, a brick wall.
Yeah. Well, so the other side of that is Romney, and what would a Romney, 4 years of Romney look like to the mortgage industry?
Well, this is going to be the big puzzle, and this is, I guess, in many ways why so many people are not that enthused about Romney the candidate, because we really don't know. He's spoken vaguely about doing something with Dodd-Frank. I don't think he's going to repeal all 2,300 pages of the legislation, but he's been intentionally vague on what he's keeping, what he's getting rid of. We also don't know what he's going to do with the CFPB. Glenn Hubbard, who was his senior economic advisor, had mentioned that he might either take it out from and put it under congressional jurisdiction, or he might do something else. He hasn't said anything about getting rid of it completely. So this is a big unknown. We have a choice of either going ahead with a political agenda that we are more than aware of, or taking a chance on something that we don't know what's behind the curtain. It could, for all we know, could even be worse than what we have today.
Can the administration, can a change in administration change the attitude between the regulators and the industry?
It could,
going forward?
Yes, it could if he puts in the right people to run the regulatory agencies. Don't forget, the FHFA has not had a full-time director since August 2009. Which I think is an obscenity. There are other agencies within Washington that don't have full-time directors. They have acting directors running the agency. Even the Census Bureau, which I wrote about today on mortgage law, they just started a new committee to track demographics related to housing. They have an acting director. I mean, who's running the government? There's nobody in charge of major departments, and I think that's a mess. And I think with Romney in the White House, there is the opportunity that if he appoints people who are at least more sympathetic to the needs of the financial services industry and not painting them in a broad brush as being the villains, I think there might be a better chance that we'll be able to have a more positive functioning economy. But again, we don't really know what Romney has in store for us. He's been intentionally vague, and that's been one of the main problems why people, I don't think they're going to be voting for him so much as they'll be voting against Obama.
Yeah, I think it's a protest vote. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say a big thing that we've not talked about is the likely opportunity during the next 4 years to replace one or more of the Supreme Court justices.
That's another issue, too, which not only goes into business-related rulings, but also social rulings, which I think may turn a lot of people against Romney. They may feel he may be wonderful for the economy, but they are sort of uneasy when he says he wants to pluck Big Bird's feathers or do something a little more drastic.
Yeah. That's a great quote. You've got so much on the mortgage world. I'm up on your website. By the way, I switched microphones. Sorry about that. You know, you're a special guest today. For the first time we had you on, and I've got microphone issues, so I apologize for that. Well, I'm looking at your website. There's a number of articles that you've written on, specifically the Morgan Stanley one that you just posted today. There's some other key things on this topic that you would draw our listeners to read that you've written about recently. Related to the upcoming election. Any particular one that you should say, hey, your readers really got to go read this one and that one? What would they be?
Well, I did a column for the Blog View section about 2 weeks ago about Ben Bernanke, the Fed chairman, and the headline was Match Wits with Ben Bernanke and Win. And the point of the column was, it was a very easy column to write. I just went back through 5 years of coverage of Bernanke and put quotes out where he was saying things back in 2007 that the subprime meltdown was contained. In 2009, he said that the bottoming of the housing market was near. And year after year, this man has been saying the most amazing things that have no connection to reality whatsoever. And yet he's still in office, and people still have a very high respect for him. I know that Governor Romney was making some noises about replacing Bernanke. I think he tried to float that as a campaign issue, but unfortunately nobody picked up on it. And go back. I would recommend for your audience to go back and read the column I did on Bernanke, and see for yourself what this man's been saying over the years, and the fact that this person has been in charge of the Federal Reserve for so many years. And when basically asked whether anything could have been done to by the Fed to prevent the economic crash, he all but blamed it on Alan Greenspan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I'd love to – there's so much good information up on this blog. I mean, I'm just going – so, okay, that's a good one. I'm going to go grab that one to read it. And give us another one, then I have another question for you about related to Ed DeMarco. So what's the
One issue that I wrote about – well, actually, this is interesting because you mentioned the Supreme Court, because this will probably turn up at the court sooner or later. And you may think, well, this has nothing to do with real estate, but it's about – medical marijuana being legalized by the states. And in California, it is legal to have prescribed medical marijuana. What the U.S. Attorney's Office in California is doing is going after the owners of the commercial properties where the dispensaries are based, and they are threatening to take them to court and run up legal bills and put them out of business. And so rather than just have a sensible, mature discussion on the legality of medical marijuana, the U.S. Attorney's Office, which is part of the Department of Justice, is targeting law-abiding, tax-paying commercial property owners.
Yeah, that is a precedent. Yeah, I see what your point. I see your point.
Yeah, and we ran this about 2 or 3 months ago. Granted, we got a lot of feedback from people who were more interested in smoking joints as opposed to talking real estate. But we receive feedback from lawyers from around the country saying that we have the same problem in our state. And so rather than address the issue head on, which this administration has not done, and quite frankly, the Romney camp hasn't even discussed it either, they're using the U.S. Attorney's Office to target people who, quite frankly, under state law, have not broken any law. No, and if there's a disconnect between state and federal law, that should be addressed by the by the courts or by the Department of Justice or the Congress, and nobody is willing to take it. And so, unfortunately, the people who are getting penalized are the honest people who own the properties where the dispensaries are based.
Interesting, fascinating, and then just the whole attitude that seems to be going, who to go after in so many injustices here. Real quick question, Brad, as we wrap up the broadcast, and I can't believe we're already at the end of it, but Ed DeMarco, he is appointed. Any opinions on, there seems to be quite a contrast between he and Richard Cordray. Your comments about him and the job, what you're seeing there, because you do have such a wonderful perspective, independent perspective of things.
I've spoken to a lot of people in the industry, and a lot of people in the industry admire him. They don't see him as being adversarial the way that they see the CFPB. They see him willing to take a position, whether it insults the White House or the Congress or whoever. He is his own person. My own opinion of Mr. DeMarco is sometimes he's not consistent, particularly in the issue of the compensation for the GSE executives. First, he was defending it, then he was contrite, and then he rather quietly brought in the man, I think Mr. Layton, to run Freddie Mac and gave him a salary much higher than he should be getting legally. So there is some inconsistency there, but on the whole, he has not really brought about the level of agitation that Richard Cordray has, but at the same time, he's the acting director, and we can't get around that fact. He was appointed because James Lockhart stepped down in August 2009, and nobody has taken the directorship since. So he's been the permanent temporary replacement.
Phil, it's been so good to have you on. We have got to have you back on a regular basis. We've had as our special guest Phil Hall, editor of Mortgage Orb, also the editor of the monthly magazine, Secondary Marketing Executive and Servicing Management. If you haven't gotten those articles or those don't subscribe to those, I encourage you to do so. Most importantly, Phil is just one of the critical thinkers and probably one of the most independent writers. I just really value, Phil, the way you present the data. It's kind of like, you know, you speak it as you see it, and I just value that perspective so much. So thank you so much for taking time, especially in such short notice, to join us here on the broadcast.
Well, my pleasure. And also, don't forget, folks, my movie, which is Rudyard Kipling's Mark of the Beast, will be out on DVD next week via MVD Visual. You can get it on Amazon, Best Buy, all of the DVD websites.
I was just going to go there to tell everybody that you're also a movie star and that you're an actor and you can get out there. One more time, the movie's name again is?
It is Rudyard Kipling's Mark of the Beast, and it's based on the famous horror story by Rudyard Kipling, the British writer, and it's on DVD starting next Tuesday, October 23rd.
Get it, folks. You won't go wrong. Again, thank you so much for taking time, being with us. Folks, that's it for the broadcast today. Tune in next week, and we got another really good broadcast about brokers. What's the future of brokers? Appreciate you being with us each and every week. Stay tuned, and hope to see you in Chicago this week and through the first part of next week. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Crowline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.